Thank you. You were just listening to a major choral masterpiece of our time. That was Trinity Requiem by my guest Robert Moran. The work commemorated the 10th anniversary of September 11th, 2001. Featured in our performance was the Trinity Youth Chorus and members of Trinity Choir, Trinity Wall Street, conducted by Robert Ridgell. Once again, that was Trinity Requiem by my guest Robert Moran, and that was from an Innova compact disc. WPRB wants you to know that Woman Space Incorporated, a nonprofit organization serving women in crisis, has safe temporary emergency housing for women who have been physically or emotionally abused and their children. For more information, call Woman Space at 609-394-0136 or go to www.womanspace.org. If you have been abused and need shelter, call the 24-hour hotline at 609-394-9000. And this has been a public service announcement from WPRB Princeton, community-supported, independent radio.
WPRB invites your small business to join our growing family of on-air underwriters. WPRB can promote your business to an engaged and creative community spread throughout Central New Jersey and the Metro Philadelphia region, as well as to our extended online audience. Our affordable rates provide different levels of exposure at prices that can work on any budget. To become a WPRB underwriter, email sales@WPRB.com or call 609-258-6829. That's 609-258-6829.
Well, good morning. The time is 9:23 on Wednesday, August 2nd, and you are tuned to WPRB, Princeton, New Jersey. Community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to, I have to say, a special edition of Classical Discoveries. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and will be with you today until 11 o'clock. I am also with you on Monday mornings from 5:30 until 11 for Treasures of Early Music. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, I just want to let you all know that I will be with you next, this Sunday morning from 7 until 10:30 for a special edition of Treasures of Early Music, and do hope you can join me for that. Today on Classical Discoveries, we are presenting a Moranathon in observance of the 80th birthday of Robert Moran, who was actually born on January 8th, 1937, and acts like he's about 18. Between now and 11 o'clock, we are listening to a varied program of many works by Robert Moran, who has been with me for, oh gosh, about 2 hours now. Robert, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
It's great to see you again.
You're pushing this thing about me being 80.
No, I said acting like a teenager.
I think it's a mental thing because, you know, you wake up some morning, you say, God, I feel like I'm 90. Another morning you wake up and you say, I feel like I'm about 30. So I think it's a head thing.
I think today is one of those days you feel like about 10.
Is that what I feel?
Oh, I think you're really upbeat and, you know.
Well, thank you, sir.
What I think is really fun today is that we are both wearing red shirts.
Accidental.
And we did not plan that. Mm-hmm. We did not plan it. Hey, before we go on, we're going to be going to some percussion music.
Ah.
And we'll be also talking about an exciting commission you're working on. However, is there any type of music you have not written yet that you hope to? I mean, have you written a violin sonata?
No.
Do you think about ever doing that?
No.
Next question. How about a piano sonata? Be careful because I'm a pianist.
Yes. Well, you also have to have a checkbook.
I guess that solves that one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought, because of all your wonderful music you've written for choir, have you ever thought of writing a choral symphony?
What is that? A choral symphony? Maybe I've done that already and didn't know it.
Like something like the Symphony of a Thousand of Mahler.
Oh, I'd love to do something like that.
Yeah,
wouldn't that
I
be fun?
Yeah, now that we're talking. That one, I got you. Yeah. I knew I would.
Yeah, that would be fun, but I don't want to call it a symphony. I steer away from that.
Yeah, okay. So I guess the answer of basically a number of these questions is no.
It's no.
In other words, no woodwind quintets?
No, absolutely not.
But how about music for percussion ensemble?
That's another story. That's quite
and that you've done. And that's where we're going to go to next.
Which means Iowa.
That does mean Iowa, and the conductor is Dan Moore.
Dan Moore.
Well, mm-hmm. I want us to listen to, this is a fun piece, it's called Sterling, It's Raining Cats and Dogs. It was written in 2007. Now, explain a little more about this piece that was actually composed in honor of a poodle.
Yes, a good friend of mine, Sterling. Yeah, he was a standard poodle.
Yeah.
He was a member of the family of Patty and Michael Scullin, who live across the street from me, and mm-hmm. they had Sterling, and I would babysit Sterling, or he would babysit me.
Yep,
and,
that's right.
That's right. And so then I got this call from Dan Moore, who heads percussion, the wonderful percussion department at the University of Iowa. And he said, Bob, we're doing another concert. Would you be interested in doing a piece? It deals with composers and their pets, cats, dogs, what have you. And I said, that sounds fabulous. And he said, what would you suggest? I said, well, I've got this friend, Sterling, standard big black poodle, very strong, crazy guy. And I would like to write a piece called Sterling, It's Raining Cats and Dogs. I mentioned this to Patty and Michael. They said, we'll commission it. And so then I said, we got it, the commission, let's go. And he said, well, what instruments do you want to use? Mm. And I said, how many students do you have? And he said, 15, 20, something like that. And I said, major, major students. And I said, well, ask each one of them what instrument they've always wanted to play and never been able to, or what they love to play more than any other instrument, and send all this information to me. And so he did. And he said, so what are you going to use of that? And I said, all of them, every one of them. And we had over 80 percussion instruments on the stage. You couldn't walk across.
Unbelievable.
You couldn't walk across the stage. So then I thought to myself, well, now I've got all of this. What is it? This is Sterling. But I had to play Sterling visually in my head as to what he's doing to make this piece work. He's walking through a Rousseau painting. Now, Rousseau, of course, was the wonderful painter there at the time of Millot and Picasso, and they always had him at parties and everything. And I thought, that wonderful, this black dog, the big poodle peeking around Rousseau trees and shrubs and what have you, and in these jungles. And that did it. Rain, storm, the whole thing. And we had a great time putting it together. Dan and the whole gang are so fabulous.
Yeah, this is a real virtuoso. This is a real percussion piece.
It's
and you know, the thing about it too, as we were talking before, is that percussion music, which is such an important part of contemporary composition today, and also as is dance music, an important part of contemporary composition. And I'm leading to your exciting commission for Iowa percussion, which I guess we'll talk about later.
Okay.
Okay, so you want to just go and we'll listen to it?
Let's go. Let's have the rain. Turn on the rain. Turn on the thunder, and let's have Sterling.
It's Raining Cats and Dogs by my guest, Robert Moran. Thank you. You were just listening to Sterling, It Is Raining Cats and Dogs by my guest Robert Moran, as performed by Iowa Percussion, conducted by Dan Moore. Well, before we go on to another performance by Iowa Percussion, I don't know why I can't say it this morning, Iowa Percussion, tell us a little bit about your exciting commission.
Oh, there's a wonderful new possibility, a new score that I'm working on right now. It's for a large percussion group, and it's called Star Charts. It's for Dan Moore and his ensemble, and I've got them all. They have a new concert hall there, a new school of music in the center of Iowa City, and it's absolutely spectacular, Marvin. Mm-hmm. Absolutely beautiful new building. The concert hall is to die for. I wish we had something like that in Philadelphia. I mean, it's acoustically perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those amazing accidents.
Right.
And beautiful. So I've put percussion all around the public on stage, in the boxes, what have you. So I'm working on that right now.
So it's like a real percussion in the round?
It really is, yes.
So is this going to be something that's going to kind of have a little bit of the influence of the old Gabrielli with the St. Mark's?
Not like
Cathedral?
This. This is very soft. The whole thing is very shimmering. Lots of gongs and bells. Because they're also doing the Anthial Ballet Mécanique, which is a nervous breakdown. So I needed to balance it out for my piece.
Right. Yeah. Very good. Well, let's go to something that we were talking about. In fact, a couple of years ago, I guess it is, you did a wonderful workshop at Westminster, where I teach for the Young Artists Program, and you made an interesting comment, and we're discussing an experience at a well-known music school regarding the exposure of new music.
New music.
It was just a very general comment, and share that if you'd like.
I would need to explain that this was in residence.
Okay.
And I was asked to speak to about 30, if you can imagine, 30 composition students in this class. And this must have been about, 10 years ago. I guess, I'm not sure. I can't remember. And I went there and I said, I would like to know what all of you really are listening to. I'm really curious today what you college people are listening to in academia, new music. No hands, no glimmer of in any of the eyes. And I said, I'm going to stop each one of you. I'm going to go around and ask each one of you. And I did that. No one had any idea of what to offer. They hadn't heard anything. So I said,
and
one person,
this
was composition students. And one said, I really did hear an interesting Shostakovich string quartet a few weeks ago. I said, that's not new. You know, that's old music. I'm talking about today. What have you heard? New performances of anything? Nothing. Zero. And I looked and I said, I'm talking to about 30 zombies. No names mentioned on the school, right? And yeah. A few months ago, I was having lunch with Jennifer Higdon, and I said, Jennifer, let me tell you about this one. And I said, I was absolutely dumbfounded. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, that happened to me too. Exactly the same thing. I said, where was this? And it was the same school. So we were flabbergasted, I think is the word I could use. We were just dumbfounded that there was nothing, not a glimmer of hope there. So when you talk about percussion ensembles, such as the University of Iowa, and you hear about dance groups, when I talk to young composers in universities, and they don't know what to do, how to get performances, and there's a glimmer of hope. I say, go to choreographers, go to the dance department. That's where they will love new music, anything, and work with them, new projects. That's the way to get performances and have a good time and learn about movement. And so that was
quite an eye-opener, though.
It was an eye-opener because no one had a clue as to what was going on.
So if they are composition majors and they're not listening to new music, I mean, sure, you have to have an understanding about Shostakovich and, you know, Bartok and a number of the others. But there has to be also some type of a reference. What's going on in our musical climate right now?
Well, with cutbacks on everything, that's the problem. It's very serious.
And what really bothers me in thinking about this, and again, we're talking in very general terms, I don't want to get too specific, is that what's bothering me is that where is all the music, where are we going to be going to? In 30, 40 years from now, where are we going to be? I mean, as I've said before, the music that we're listening to now, that music that's being composed by our living composers right now, I think, as I told you off microphone, and I've said it a number of times, I think we're right now possibly in one of music's most exciting times. The talent that we have in our conservatories in our world. You go to other countries. It's just you go to some of these countries in Eastern Europe, down in New Zealand, in Australia.
Oh, yes.
The music that's out there is just unbelievable. And these are names people just, who are they?
Yeah,
that we don't know. We don't
know.
Get the exposure.
But they get to hear it on your show.
Well,
and I thank you endlessly. We all thank you.
No, but I mean, seriously, though, well,
I'm serious.
Thank you. Thank you. And you're welcome. But I listen to this, and I mean, there's the feeling of exploring and discovering new music, new talent, new things out there. You know, to me, when I get some new recordings, I get very excited when I get CDs by a composer I never heard of before. This, to me, is an adventure, and this is what excites me, because there is so much talent in our world. Today, America, Canada, Latin America, all over, the Orient, Middle Eastern Europe, Western or Europe, all over. Even if you look in composers that are writing, like in Africa, some of the composers from South Africa.
Amazing.
It's mind-boggling. Yeah. So when are we going to grow and start exposing this talent by living composers? Living composers are our future. Do you know, living composers, when young students hear them, it is within their experience, and they can relate to it. They're alive.
Well, then you could blame academia, can't you? I mean, basically, it's not happening
I'm not here blaming anybody.
Well,
I am.
Just, you can't, but I will. But I'll tell you, what I've watched in the span of my life.
Yeah.
As I said, in the 60s, new opera was unheard of. Really unheard of. Now what's happened is it's almost become fashionable to include at least one or two new operas in the seasons. It's really quite exciting what's going on there. And they're expensive. Operas are frightfully expensive.
To produce.
But produce and to the singers and all of this.
The whole thing.
And it's and the recording and the big system of the recording. You know, the RCA, names, no names, but you know what I'm talking about. It's gone. Oh, it's over with. Now everyone can produce their own CDs, can come up with their own little companies and put out what they want. We've got a vast amount of things out there that one can listen to.
Yeah, and that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And what's fun is to hear these things and to listen, you know, watch comments of people. And I think what is a wonderful thing, which... in terms of our new music today, is the internet. You go to all these websites. You go to all these places. You can go to music centers from Lithuania, all over the world, in many, many countries. And they have music you can listen to by composers that are alive. And many of them are young, in their 30s, 20s, and they are getting started. And I think it's important to encourage their work. And how do you encourage their work? By letting people have the opportunity to hear it.
Of course.
Instead of it just being piled up, all this great music. And I have to say, look, it's not all great music, but there is a lot of it that is great.
Well, the passage of time does clean out things, as we've seen from a few hundred thousand Baroque, Sonata, Allegro, what have you, sonatas.
Yeah, well, but I like those.
Yeah, but a lot of them we will never hear.
But that is right.
Yeah.
That is exact. But you're right.
Yeah.
There are many of them that we'll never hear, and they're always composers, going back, into that period. We all know of some of the main people, Vivaldi and Telemann, Monteverdi, going even back earlier.
Yes, but we didn't really know much about Vivaldi operas. Now we have Cecilia Bartoli and that gang, Yarovsky and what have you, bringing these back to life, and they're fabulous. Mm-hmm. Fabulous new music of that period.
Right, and you know what I think is always important to remember? And I've said it periodically here and there. Bach was new music at one time.
Wagner was the scary new music.
Everyone
was new music.
Everybody was. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, at least there is hope, maybe, but...
Well, there's got to be hope.
There's hope, but I feel really bad because, I experience so much wonderful stuff and I get so excited about it. And I say, gee whiz, I'd love to hear this live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of luckily course. We have
yeah.
recordings,
yeah.
which are very important
very,
because that you can yeah. get it out there.
Yeah.
But it's keep on plugging.
Absolutely.
That's the way name of the game is just keep on plugging. And
looking for new adventures,
that's
musical
what, that,
adventures.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
That's excitement.
Yeah.
That's excitement for me.
Yeah.
Is finding stuff I never heard before.
I'm wondering if with the young people, it's so blasé. There's so much that you can have that you just can't be bothered. You know, it's like walking into a bookstore and you think, oh, there are 100,000 books here, and you can't find anything to read. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's there's something.
And you have to have some type of a guidance. I remember in one of my classes, I played this piece, this really wonderful piece by this Dutch composer, Tjeld Meyering.
Mm-hmm.
It was for recorder, harpsichord, violin, and they were the young performers,
mm-hmm.
dressed in a very mm-hmm. contemporary way, and it really rocked,
yeah.
but written like in a very allegro, presto, baroque style.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that was really cool was that one of my students said to me, do you know, when I was on break, I searched it and put it on my phone. When that's happening, you know there is, of course, definitely a lot of hope.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It just needs the guidance,
yeah.
you know, to keep it going. Anyway, now we're going to change gears and stay with contemporary music, but we're going to go back to something you wrote 50 years ago.
Oh, was it 50 years ago?
1965.
Oh, dear.
It's a composition called Elegant Journey, and it features Iowa percussion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
Elegant Journey with stopping points of interest. And it was a birthday present. The score, score was a birthday present for Darius Milhaud.
So is this the same composition of the other one we
yes.
were talking?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's
so
okay.
So because it's a graphic notation
okay.
and it can be played by any instruments,
okay.
we'll hear Dan Moore play this one.
Well, could you share a little bit about graphic notation?
It's hard to
say. Without visualizing.
It's hard to do
yeah,
without visualizing.
I understand
but
that,
it's
of course.
Really, I mean, people look at this and say, name certain painters.
Mm-hmm.
Like clay. They
yeah.
say you must be interested because there's a quality of clay in the graphic notation. It's non-traditional notation, and it leaves it up to more interpretation. That's all about all I can say.
Right,
so,
right,
you want to
right.
play this?
Let's hear, yeah. We're going to hear Elegant Journey by my guest, Robert Moran. We hear members of Iowa Percussion, get it out right.
Or is that just a solo? I don't
that's
know.
That's just a solo. It
it's
says Iowa Percussion.
Let's
so
hear it.
So we'll hear it. The conductor, or maybe it is a solo. Point is, music of Robert.